gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am so sorry.
Oh, dude.
At least it was on my show and not the Today Show. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free to join the party. Yeah, I'm sick, and I've been phlegmy on the air all day, but at least I didn't barf on Meredith Vieira.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you bubble boy. I got bumped from the Ed Show by friggin' Balloon Boy.
Yes, you did.
Oh, that kid. What the hell? He barfed on Meredith Vieira. He's like that character on South Park, Splat.
Yeah.
Stan.
Stanley. Stan, yes.
God, I'm even sicker today, but this kid, what the hell was this story about? I'm like, what, first of all, we don't even know, Chris. It sounds like last night on CNN, when Anderson Cooper asked him, you know, why were you in the attic? He said, oh, it was for the show.
Yeah, and then Dad was trying to backpedal. Well, I see where the questioning is going, and we need to, yeah.
We got
to
go now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was either a huge publicity stunt or just a, you know, a kid's prank. Either way, somebody's getting grounded for life. Either
hey,
the parents
see
or the kids. Somebody. Storm chasers, what's that? What kind of parents? Hey, honey, there's a tornado. Want to get the kids and drive right into the middle of it? What the hell? This is the weirdest story ever. They were on Wife Swap?
Yes. And Rebecca actually sat down and watched the episode of Wife Swap yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, Rebecca, do tell.
I located on the internet, and oh, my God, this family is crazy. They're insane.
Really, I would not have sussed that out thus far from the search for extraterrestrials.
Chasing wife swappers.
Their kids act like brats through the entire episode.
Well,
the
here's
father's
the thing I
yelling.
Like about them. They let them swear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop the F word, the P
that's
word.
Great.
Yeah.
They're flipping off
great.
The camera every 2 seconds. I mean, what did they expect? The family's nuts.
He's six, and he's allowed to swear at home, but only at home.
Yeah, he called the other wife that they swapped with a dumb B word.
Oh, my God.
I got bumped from the Ed Show last night for her, for that crazy biatch, the psychic.
Oh, you did?
Oh, she's a psychic?
Oh, the psychic was on.
Ed got her on exclusively first.
Wait a minute. Is that the wife that the family swapped
yes.
with? Oh, my
yes.
God.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Ed had her on. And first of all, I love because she had no understanding of, like, live television. She said, you know, Ed said, well, what did you think when you first saw this on TV and this was the family? She goes, I sort of thought this was a publicity stunt. And then Ed said, oh, really, or whatever. And then she goes, oh, I'm not saying I think that. I was just saying that was my first thought, but I don't. Well, don't say that I said that. Like, it's like,
oh, my God.
You're going to edit this out later, right? Hey,
yeah. We'll fix it in post.
Right, but if she's psychic, she should know whether it's a hoax or not.
I know. Yeah, it's too late. You're going to edit this, right?
Oh, God.
Don't say I said that. Well, it's a little late, honey. Sorry.
I predict that you're going to edit this.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so what else was in the Wife Swap episode?
Mostly just how insane the family is. They were building, like,
didn't
UFOs
they do, like, a Beastie Boys video or
and
something?
And they did. They put together this rap video that is so vulgar and so inappropriate, even I didn't like it. I was like, normally I like that stuff, but
you're
they're
the
kids.
Official rapper when we have karaoke at my house, Rebecca. So
right,
I can imagine there's a rap song too filthy for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll be following this and see if there's any updates this morning.
Oh, I thank you. Yeah, this lady was on before me on. I got bumped. I got bumped by the crazy lady from Wife Swap. But
so there isn't any actual.
He's an amateur scientist. Can you be an amateur scientist? What's that?
Well, if he's an amateur scientist, what does he do professionally to make money for his family?
It's a professional whack job.
Yeah.
On the episode, he does construction, and he forces his wife to pass out flyers in the neighborhood so he can get jobs.
Oh, no.
He's very controlling. He's crazy. He acts like a little boy, the father.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm really curious how this is going to pan out.
Okay, so let's go around the round table here.
Okay.
What's everybody, what's up with this? What do you think is the real story? Because
publicity. Publicity stunt.
I'm thinking hoax.
Yep.
Oh, something. But this is going to be big trouble then.
It's for the show. We did this for the show.
A helicopter with the Colorado National Guard went up. I mean, you know,
a lot of tax money went to looking for this kid.
He's going to have to do a lot of construction to pay for all that.
Uh huh.
Exactly. I mean, I have to admit, I was one of the duped masses. I could not stop watching this yesterday. I was just like, and then I'm in hair and makeup with Katrina Van de Heuvel.
Yo.
And the minute this broke during Ed's show, we're like, oh, we're bumped. Friggin' balloon boy.
Yeah. All in all, it's a good thing he's safe.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Happy he's safe.
No, I was relieved.
However.
Yes, because, I mean, when they cut away because they're like, okay, we're going to cut away now because I'm like, oh, God. When the balloon was going down, I was like, oh, God, this is awful, you know.
Yeah.
But then it just got weird and funny. And then, Chris, there was no tragedy for there to be time before there was comedy.
Exactly. So comedy was instantaneous.
Comedy was instantaneous.
Yes. That's the best kind of tragedy.
Oh, my God. It was just, excuse me, I'm going to hack up a long
oh,
now.
Oh, boy.
Me.
Talk amongst ourselves. Rutabaga, 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 rutabaga.
Get girlfriend funny on for most of the morning.
Oh, boy.
I was up coughing up half a lung last night. But I did go out to dinner with Ed Schultz and Wendy.
Oh, how
nice.
Are they?
I don't know if they take everyone out that gets bumped from the show, but they didn't. But I think you should demand it. Ed, are you taking me to dinner?
was Katrina Van de Heuvel with you guys?
No, she was not, but she's going to come on the show next week. I love her.
Oh,
she's
cool.
Going to come on our little radio show here.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, but anyway, it was... okay, but then the whole most hilarious thing, Katrina and I are in hair and makeup, and so as soon as they go away from the Bubble Boy coverage, they go right to Arianna Huffington. And she goes... And I do not understand why we are still talking about this. The boy is safe. Why are we talking about it? And Katrina and I are like, oh, no, she didn't. You don't tell the host what he should be covering. Of course, Ed just lets her have it. He's like, it just happened 10 minutes ago, Ariana.
Yeah. People are tuning in.
Yes, but I think we should be talking about.
I love Ariana, but it was just like she couldn't understand why Arnold said he was an environmentalist and he drives a Hummer. I do not understand why we're still talking about this. The boy is safe, and why are we talking about it?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. It was hilarious. Because I have to say, I'm on the show, but I wanted to know. I was like, no, I want to talk about Bubble Boy now.
Yeah.
I don't care. There are all kinds of important things to talk about. There's a health care reform. And why are we talking about Balloon Boy? All right.
Oh.
But you know what? This is really not. This is good for my Paula Poundstone impression and many others, but not for my Ariana impression.
No, it's not. It sends you into fits of coughing.
Yes. Oh, Footsie wrote, because many people wrote what I sounded like yesterday. He writes at StephanieMiller.com, by the way.
Oh, yes.
You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice DD, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. He writes, hey, Steph, you sound like Peppermint Patty. Charlie Brown. Or one of those female soccer coaches who yells all the time.
Yes.
Very sexy. Oh, well, thank you, Footsie. Glad you're enjoying it. I'm going to hold out the entire show, but we'll see how it goes.
Invite me up for some Harvey's Bristol Cream. Come on.
Would you like to come up for some Harvey's Bristol Cream?
Yeah.
Or maybe I should just talk. I can actually talk when I do that. Maybe I should talk like this.
This is what I think that'll do.
Rachel Maddow was back last night, although she's been sick. Her voice is a little froggy, too, she said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was back, but I gave her a swine flu, apparently, and now I've been trying to give it to Ed in my evil plot to get my own show at MSNBC.
God.
See, and I was supposed to go on with Allison Stewart, who was filling in for Rachel on Wednesday, but I was too sick, and that would have completed my plot to take out the host and the guest host.
That's right.
So there's virtually nobody else available but me.
And you didn't get close enough to Keith Olbermann to take him out, did you?
No. If I could have French kissed my future husband, my plot would have been complete.
That's
but
right.
He does his show in an entirely different studio.
Oh, he's smart that way, you see.
Yes, exactly.
Hermetically sealed studio.
Yeah, he's the boy in the bubble.
Yeah.
That's different than Balloon Boy. So this kid's name is really Falcon.
Falcon.
Let's review that for a moment.
Yes.
Falcon. Tom broke up. I'm fascinating.
And it's a balloon incident.
A balloon boy. It was named Falcon. Dateline Fort Collins, Colorado.
The balloon hullabaloo.
So, yeah, I don't know what to believe. A lot of parents are like, oh, yeah, that I've, you know, that one of the police guys was saying, oh, this happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times, like, a kid, you know, gets scared and hides somewhere. But so he says, they said that the dad said I yelled at him. I'm sorry, I yelled at him. So Falcon first said I was in the attic because he scared me and he yelled at me. That's why I went in the attic. And then the father, of course, said denied the notion it was a publicity stunt. That's horrible after the crap we went through. No, of course not. Shut up, you little...
We did it for the
You're
show.
You're not reading the script right. Shut up. Don't say that. It was for the show. What are you talking about?
You can edit that out, right?
Right? You're going to, what? Live? Oh, crap.
Andy Borowitz has a line on Twitter. Memo to MSNBC. Forget the balloon experts and rustle up some sociopath experts.
Yeah. He's an amateur scientist, which I don't know what that means. Aren't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, pursuing bad weather was a family activity, which I, as I mentioned earlier, that seems safe and wholesome, doesn't it?
Storm chasing. Fun.
Yeah, fun for the whole family.
Well, we have an official storms chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show. I wonder if he's listening this morning. We can get some expert, commentary.
Yeah, call in.
Uh-huh. Let's see. So this was a family activity with the children as the father sought evidence to prove his theory that rotating storms create their own magnetic fields. I think it's good to use your kids as a pawn for your crazy theories, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm not really that clear on gravity. Let's try it with six-year-old Falcon and see. Wow. It says, although Richard says he has no specialized training, they have a computer tracking system in their car and a special motorcycle. Which, ooh, I guess that's all you need, Jim, to be a scientist.
It's a bat cycle.
It's a motorcycle. Okay.
Something.
He should construct his own bat cave.
They were described on the wife-swapping show they were on. You just cannot write this stuff these days, can you? When the Heen family aren't chasing storms, they devote their time to scientific experiments that include looking for extraterrestrials and building a research gathering flying saucer to send into the eye of the storm.
Build a flying saucer?
Well, that looks like
a balloon that looks like
a balloon that looks like a flying saucer. They're crazy.
It should work. It looks like it. It looks like a flying saucer. So
yeah. I don't know how we'll ever know the truth to you, Chris. I don't know what's going to happen with all this now. Like, are they going to, you know?
I don't know.
They're probably just going to make them crack under pressure, I guess.
They'll get their own show.
I mean, obviously, barfing on Meredith Vieira, it's your first step to cracking under pressure. Because, you know, the one kid, I guess, was adamant, the older brother, about saying, I thought he, you know.
Right.
I saw him go in there. So who knows? And they're saying the parents were frantic. But I know, then it seems weird after that. Then you're like, okay.
Something really doesn't smell right, and something is going to come out about this.
Saying is, how are they going to prove it? You know, it's like, you know, who undid the balloon? It's like all that stuff, right?
The kid's going to talk.
The six-year-old?
Yes.
He's probably entirely too chatty for his.
Yeah. Yeah. His
six-year-olds
parents
are notoriously unreliable.
No, he was confused by the question. He meant the hiding spot. He confused the hiding spot with the show.
My friend,
like a
six-year-old,
show
I remember, used to, like, when she wouldn't get her what she wanted in the supermarket, she would yell really loud, "Mommy, please don't hit me again."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, kids are smart.
Kids are smart that way. Yeah.
They're smart that way. They know exactly.
Yeah, the kid's already too chatty for his own good.
My name is Talking Tina, and you're going to prison.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the thing is, they always say about the media, they always cover the shiny object. This actually was literally the shiny object.
Yes, it was.
And I could not look away from it. I could not look away from the shiny object all day.
Well, I didn't hear about
it. By the way, breaking news hates me. I just had a feeling. You remember the last time I was on the set, Chris, right?
Yeah.
In LA? And I literally started seeing, I'm getting ready to go on the Ed Show Live, and I started to see the scroll about Michael Jackson. I'm like, well, doesn't that look curious?
Oh. That's right.
Wow.
Breaking news hates me. Every time I get booked, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you killed Michael Jackson and caused the flying balloon spaceship disaster.
And I was supposed to go back and be on the Ed Show tonight, but now I'm flying back to L.A. today, so I can't. This has been a great week in New York, by the way, except for catching swine flu and getting bunked by Balloon Boy. It was almost perfect. Oh, boy. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with a rollicking right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, running on fumes on a Friday from New York City. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
You sound
and
like
you know
crap.
What, Chris?
What?
You're right. Well, you wrote a note on the Balloon Boy story. You said, moral of the story? Don't have kids.
Yeah.
Which I agree, as you know. And then I got bumped by Balloon Boy as if I had any other reason to not have kids. Now I'm going to fly home on my normal airline, Screaming Babies Airlines.
Uh-huh.
So
Yeah, all of this could have been saved if they just hadn't have had kids.
Yes.
So.
Or balloons.
Or balloons.
Kept it in his pants.
That's
exactly
right.
All right. Buddy in Columbus with some breaking news, speaking of which, on the father. Hello, buddy.
I don't know how to break it to everybody. MSNBC is showing film A Balloon Boy's Dad Releasing the Balloon.
No.
Yes. Oh, really?
Huh? Yes.
No way.
And people around him.
Wait a minute. Who got that? Who could have gotten that video?
Someone in the family, and they're counting down, you know, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Wow.
And then it floats away.
Oh, somebody's going to prison.
And it was supposed to be on a tether, and the tether didn't work, and it floated away, and the dad's jumping up and down yelling the F-bomb. and
Wait a minute. So it looked like they were trying to launch it, but then when it launched, it was a mistake?
I guess they were trying to get it to hover a little bit or something, but then it floated away.
Oh.
And also, I heard this morning that some detectives have some questions for Mr. Haney.
Yeah, one would think they might have a call. Columbo's going to knock at the door. One more question.
Imagine that, you know, that hard table and a couple of chairs. You want to have a seat there, sir? Ask some questions.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you, buddy. Yeah, Jim, I'm going to guess that Columbo's going to have just one more question.
I've got one more question. Are you out of your mind?
Oh, no way.
What?
Well, wait, so someone else in the family reportedly took this video?
Or maybe a neighbor or something. Neighbor.
Oh, that's weird.
Or maybe that was part of the show.
Filming.
Or maybe it was part of the show that the kid was on.
Like I said, Daddy, the show. Shut up.
Shut up, bastard.
Wow.
Should have worn a condom. Damn it.
So it was an amateur scientist experiment gone awry then, perhaps.
Perhaps. We're going to be finding out a lot more about this over the weekend, I think.
See, look, our whole show, everyone's going to get bumped from our show now.
I know, right?
For Balloon Boy. Now I'm going to have to bump House Majority Whip James Clyburn next hour and Representative Robert Dandridge this hour, unless they want to talk about Balloon Boy.
About health care. Oh, just in. Balloon Boy news.
I'm telling you, it's human nature. Even they don't care. They're sick of health care, too. They're like, what?
What?
This video of the guy releasing a balloon.
And the father saying the F-bomb over and over again?
What? Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. And she knows about kids because she brought a baby to a bar when I performed in D.C.
Oh, and I have live commentary, too. I hope you're feeling better. But as the official parenting specialist of the Stephanie Miller Show, let me just say, these are really bad parents. I don't say that lightly. But I want to put on a six-year-old boy who can tell you that he knows the difference. Hold on. Here comes Evan.
Oh.
Hi, Stephanie. I am 6 and I know the difference between true and lie.
Oh,
that is just cute as bug's teeth.
That is precious.
Okay, Stephanie.
Yes, but she lies when she has to, right? When she needs something.
Oh, me?
No, the 6-year-old.
No, the 6-year-olds are perfectly capable. That's what Evan's telling you. Under 6, under 5 and a half or so, they don't know the difference. But with a 6-year-old, they know the difference. So if you question them carefully.
Wow.
But I have another important point about this as a metaphor.
We're going to have to take that after the break, honey. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with that and Representative Robert Andrews as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I need a cocktail.
Don't I ever. After being bumped for Balloon Boy last night on MSNBC. Whatever. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We take our eyes briefly away from the shiny object that is Balloon Boy to talk with Representative Robert Andrews, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm clearly not very well.
Well, you fell off floating in a balloon somewhere? What happened to you?
Yes, I was up in a hot air balloon for too long.
There you go.
No, I'm desperately in need of health care, though. And so thank God y'all are working on that.
We are.
You know, I was cheered yesterday. You know, Senator Baucus said all Democrats will support a health bill in the end. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. But I think what's in the bill is awfully important. We don't want to pass a bill just to pass a bill. We want to pass a bill to fix the problem.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems to me almost every day, Congressman, it becomes clearer and clearer that the private health insurance companies are not on our side, and they need, serious competition. I don't know if you saw this latest story in New York, which, of course, right near your state. This guy that was, his claims were too expensive because he has MS, and so rather than, it's illegal to drop just him, so they mm-hmm. drop coverage for the entire line of people with that malady. Yeah.
And, that's a great example why we need this bill. That would be illegal under this bill. You couldn't refuse to cover someone because they were sick, nor could you charge them a much higher premium because they're sick.
Right. Well, in the state of New York, insurers are legally prohibited from discriminating against individuals who submit large claims like this guy did. But, I mean, so they just went, here's what we'll do. We'll cancel the entire line of coverage in the state for that.
There's always a
way
around
it. And then one executive
is
on record saying it refers to patients like him as dogs that the company can simply get rid of.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's why we need this bill. That would be illegal. The insurance companies would not be able to do that, and that's a change that we need.
Yeah, and that offends me on every level as a Democrat and a dog lover. The thing I keep asking a lot of you and your colleagues is, I'm just not sure how you continue to even try to negotiate with people on the other side of the aisle. You have your colleague, who is it, Representative John Shadegg, Republican of Arizona, yesterday said, we're getting full-on Russian gulag, Soviet-style gulag health care with this bill.
Yeah, I'm actually glad when I hear people say things like that. I'll tell you why. Because it's such a ridiculous statement that there are reasonable people out there that have their doubts about this plan. And it is our job to listen to them and be responsive and explain what we're doing. And if necessary, compromise to get what we need. But when people make statements like that, it just, I think, shreds the credibility of a lot of the critics. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I suppose. But, what disturbs me is when, there's also people on our side. I don't know if, you've heard about the Senator Mary Landrieu, Democrat from Louisiana. But, she was asked, because she's not for a public option, obviously. So she was asked, why do you think it's so popular? And she said, because I think people think it means free health care. Congressman, come on. I don't know anybody that thinks it means free health care.
No, I don't either. And I think I just don't agree with that statement. I think people do understand it costs something. What they also understand is if you have a choice of a Medicare-like, nonprofit-driven health option, you may actually get health care that cares about you. And that's why people want it so much. People get this. I mean, what's interesting, a lot of this rhetoric echoes what was said in 1965 when Medicare was being considered.
Yep.
Go back and read the quotes. People said it would be the end of the world. It would be socialized medicine. It would be such an awful thing. I think if you asked 1,000 seniors if they wanted to keep their Medicare or give it up today, about 960 of them would say keep it.
Yep.
Don't dare think about taking it away. And when we pass this bill and people have better health care, they're going to feel the same way about this as well.
Well, to me, the very good news yesterday is that Nancy Pelosi taking a very strong line here, don't you think?
She sure is. I've been sitting in rooms with her all week, and I'll tell you, she is a focused, fierce person who is ready to get this done, and she's very much pushing for the strongest form of public option we can get. And she's holding people accountable. She's looking around the room and saying, okay, how are you voting? And that's exactly what she should be doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed like she was really a shot across the bow to the Senate, wasn't it?
She said, I mean, she just let it be known that we're not going to have one Republican senator dictate the outcome of this bill. We're not going to do that.
Good for her. Well, where do you think, I know this is, it's not your side of the House there, but what do you think Senator Reid is thinking or doing? I mean, he makes a point of saying, I'm for the public option, but, notice that I say I am. I mean, he's the leader, right? Mm-hmm. If he puts the public option in, it's in, correct?
Well, he puts it in and he's got to get 60 votes. But look, I think we're going to wind up with a strong public option in the House bill. I don't know what the Senate's going to do. We will then have this negotiation between the House and the Senate. And look, I think that a huge majority of Democrats want this public option. And those who don't are going to have to explain why they don't. And I think in the end, we're going to come up with a good result.
Well, Congressman, it seems to me that it doesn't matter what issue it is. Like, I was glad yesterday in the House, you guys, cleared the Homeland Security bill, which preserves President Obama's authority to temporarily transfer Gitmo prisoners to the U.S. for prosecution.
Right.
But, on the other side of the aisle, you've got just more of this fear-mongering and rhetoric. Who was it? Kentucky Representative Hal Rogers said, keep these detainees off sacred American soil.
Oh, dear.
Peter King said, allowing prosecutions in the United States is a time bomb waiting to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, it's just, you know, on every subject, health care reform, it's just
yeah,
time bomb.
First of all, these people are accused. They're not convicted.
But yeah.
Second of all, before they're tried, they'd be transferred to maximum federal security prisons. You know how many people have escaped from these maximum prisons over the last 10 years?
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
I was ahead of you on that, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And I think, again, the Republican Party is marginalizing itself with
yeah.
comments like you read from John Shattuck. And they're people who are reasonable people understand how ridiculous that rhetoric is.
Well, please, Senator Grassley, I think, is Exhibit A on health care reform, isn't he? You know, the even the president is, like, applauding him in the early on in the process. He's, you know,
yeah.
working with us. And it's like then he's out there saying death panels. And now he's out there. He had talked favorably about a mandate. And now he's saying, oh, that might be unconstitutional. Mandate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what's going on with him. I'll be honest with you. Our focus is on passing this bill and getting it right. And those who don't want to be a part of it, I respect their decision. But we're not going to waste a lot of time worrying about people like that.
Before you go, Congressman, do you have a comment on Balloon Boy? Because I must ask.
I don't know. I don't honestly know the facts. I am happy this little boy is apparently okay. But,
me too.
You know, can I just make this one observation? And I think you implied it before I came on the air. You know, there's some really big things happening in this country, whether it's health care or problems with the economy or how we regulate the banks or global warming. You know, there's a lot of big things going on. And it is kind of bizarre how there's this fascination with the shiny object like you talked about, that this story is just dominating the discourse this morning. I understand it's an emotional story. There's a lot going
right.
on. But, you know, we kind of got to get focused in the country on what affects everybody.
Yeah,
and it does affect everybody if your insurance company can drop you because you have MS. Or it does
yep.
affect everybody if you know, you're not going to have a decent school to send your kid to. So I think we got to focus on those things. I sure am glad that you do on your show.
Yeah, well, thank you. But I also was, and also if it impairs my ability to get on television in any way myself, then I'm not for it.
An outrage. It's
exactly.
An outrage.
Thank you, Congressman. Do something about that. Congressman Robert Andrews of the great state of Jersey. Thanks for calling, sir.
Have a great day. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, honey. You too.
Oh.
Ken in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ken is gone, but let's go to let's go to Barb in Duluth, Minnesota.
Hello, Barb.
Hey, as the homeschooler of Stephanie Miller Show, I did watch with interest to that family in their science project yesterday, but I have to say we've never done one quite like that ourselves.
Yeah, that's quite the science fair project.
Yeah, but I did want to mention, when we were watching, they did make mention on the coverage yesterday, the person who shot the footage, I know you mentioned it a few minutes ago, was actually the 10-year-old brother. He actually was shooting on a little home movie camera.
Oh, wait a minute. So is he the one that said he thought he was in the balloon?
Yeah, he was the
one. Oh, this is looking more and more staged.
And he's the one who shot the footage, but I think the brother really seemed sincere. But anyway, as a homeschooling family
wow.
who does do science projects, we decided that one was not on our list.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Boy, that kind of makes my science fair project pale in comparison. What did you do? I let a weather balloon go and got national television coverage for hours and hours and got the FAA to go after my – you remember mine, Chris. I've told the story many times.
What was yours?
I grew shrimp.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The sea monkeys.
Well, yeah, there were shrimp, Jim, but the light bulb blew out overnight, and so they all died.
Oh.
And so when the judges came by, I had to stir them up so they looked like they were swimming when the judges came by. I don't think they fell for it.
No, At least nobody died in this kid's science experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but they're microscopic shrimp. You
can't
see them.
I wasn't as good at lying as apparently this family is.
Yeah.
43 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Who on the live blog says I sound like who?
Mark on the live blog says you sound like Frau Blücher.
I am Frau Blücher.
You know, I actually could go for some Ovaltine right now. Something warm on my throat might be good.
Ovaltine.
Thank you. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Notice I didn't say anything dirty.
There. What's that?
Notice I didn't say anything dirty.
Something warm on your throat.
Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and thank you for your offer of throat coat tea. Fernando in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning. I'm a first-time caller, a long-time listener, and just love your show, and I love the new voice. yesterday, you mentioned that you were taking Phenergan, promethazine. Careful with that. It does make you drowsy. So I'm glad you're not doing anything that requires mental alertness.
I'm sorry. Yeah, what were you saying?
the reason I'm calling, I teach pharmacology at a local nursing school, and I mentioned in my class pharmacogenomics, which comes straight out of the Human Genome Project. Remember, they're mapping out the human DNA and
right.
so on.
Yes.
Well,
are you an amateur scientist, sir?
No, ma'am. I'm a professional. I'm highly trained, and do not try this at home.
Do you have a balloon in your backyard?
No, actually, my 14-year-old let it go, and it's gone. But
and you felt no need to call the authorities?
No, there was no video of it, so what's the point of calling?
Wait, before you go on, I have to ask you about this cough medicine, because I was up all night coughing up a lung. Is there no suppressant in this substance?
And this one, no, what you need is codeine. Codeine will suppress your cough. It suppresses the cough at the cough center in your brain.
There's a cough center in your brain?
There's a cough center in your brain. That's what causes where your cough is controlled.
Okay.
Well, let me just say that center is overexcited this week. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, with pharmacogenomics, it's the branch of pharmacology where your personal individual genetics, how the drugs affect your personal genetics. And back in June of 2005, the FDA approved the very first drug for use in a specific race.
Wow.
They approved a medication called Bidil, which is a medication for congestive heart failure, and it's marketed at African Americans. Now, I'm talking about this with my class, and it kind of dawns on me that this isn't that far away from insurance companies denying us care for our genetics.
Right.
Of diseases that we may have, that we may be predisposed to. For instance, in my case, I'm very, very predisposed to diabetes. I'm Hispanic, I'm overweight, and I have a very strong family history of diabetes. My mom, two of her sisters, and my grandfather. Now, what's to stop my insurance company from denying coverage to me?
Yes, you would be referred to as a dog by that one insurance company.
Well, I guess as big as I am, I'd be a St. Bernard then.
All right, honey. Thank you for calling. That's funny.
Well, that's a good point, though.
That, interesting. He should.
Oh, boy.
Sorry,
oh,
Jim.
Boy.
Go ahead.
No, I should say that's something that maybe needs to be looked at in legislation, too, that they can't discriminate against people because of their genetic background.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what a fabulous segue for race. Could I have my deliverance music? Because we're going to dive into right-wing world in a moment. But did you know there's a bigger racist than Rush Limbaugh in the news this week? You heard about this judge in Louisiana?
Oh, my God,
yes.
He
denied a marriage license for an interracial couple. He said, concern for children. He's thinking of the children, as you see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Prompted him to issue them a marriage license. Keith Bardwell said it's his experience that most interracial marriages do not last long.
And what experience does he have?
The couple say they will consult the U.S. Justice Department. I think that might be wise. The wife said she called, to inquire about getting a marriage license. She said Bardwell's wife told her that Bardwell does not sign marriage licenses for interracial couples.
Oh, my God.
Homie, don't play that.
Wow-wee.
Yeah, makes me glad I don't live in the deep south.
Yeah. Listen, that's why I was supposed to go on Ed last night to talk about Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, I don't want to say Rush is a racist. It's just with his, you know, saying his comments that slavery was not that bad. Maybe he just was excited at the prospect of being able to own some black people. Maybe. That factored into his thought that might not be so bad. It's all right. Let's dive into a right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. All right. Oh, you know what?
What?
This happened to her again, Mara Liasson. Because, as you know, I almost hacked up a lung on the Ed show the other night because I'm sick. But
yes.
At least they try to help you.
Did Ed try and help you? Did Ed try and give you a Heimlich?
Yes. But the thought, when you go on Fox as a liberal, she's what passes for a liberal on Fox.
Yeah.
This happened one other time to her. The only reason it's funny is because whenever a liberal looks like they're choking to death on Fox News, everyone just ignores them and no one tries to help.
Yeah, and Charles Krauthammer, who is a medical doctor, was sitting right next to her again last night.
Okay.
I just think it was a campaign promise that is long gone by the wayside. I don't know who has ever negotiated in public or on C-SPAN. I do think the price argument is a strong one to make. People are concerned about it. And I think that's been at the heart of a lot of the public worry about this.
Well, I'd go back to the transparency argument, you know.
Like, help her! She's obviously in trouble.
She has a permanent froggy throat.
Yeah.
That happened one other time, and I swear to God, I thought she was going to pass out, and they all just ignored her.
Yes.
And then they killed her with a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Would all you right. like a lozenge? That'll be $400 billion.
All right. Here is the drug addled gas bag. Oh, God, could he be any whinier?
Could the entire right of spectrum be any whinier about him not getting an NFL team?
Well, it's not fair. My friends like own a football team. It's a right. It's in the Constitution that you're allowed to own a football team. What?
Those people who enabled this event.
What?
For their own racial reasons, for their own ratings.
You know who I'm talking about.
Their own Those fundraising, people. Their own FaceTime, their own business reasons. They're going to be just as unhappy as they were before this happened.
Oh.
Is that a threat?
Oh, please whip out the tiny violin for Rush. Oh, no. What has happened to America when a man can't own a football team because he's a huge bigot? How could anyone enable this to happen? Oh, please, in this economy, does anyone really feel bad for a multimillionaire? You know, Ed made a great point the other night. It's like, you're such a big fan of the free market, Rush. You know, he loves how that's working for him in radio, you know.
Right.
How does it feel, people discriminating against you for your political beliefs? You know, we have like 1/6 of the stations that the conservatives do, you know. He's fine with the free market, for talk radio. But now it's like, what? Which is because of my political, like, what do you mean I can't order this?
I have a constitutional right
way,
to
Ed
be
Schultz,
a racist.
Ed Schultz, who beats him in a lot of markets, can only get on 1/6 of the stations Rush is on. How's that working for us, Rush? Oh. All right, here is the drug-addled gas bag again.
This kind of stuff, this misreporting, malreporting, lying.
Malreporting.
Repeating the lies while also saying Limbaugh denies.
Talking about Fox News.
Repeating
now.
The made-up quotes. The blind hatred.
Oh.
And believe me, the hatred that exists in this is found in the sports writer community.
Oh.
It's found in the news business. I love the National Football League. I don't dislike anything about it.
Except all the black people.
I'm a fan. But the hatred that I am able now to mirror for the country to see is all over the place. And I tell you with absolute sincerity, I am more sad for our country than I am for myself.
Oh, God.
Because you love your country, don't you, Rush, even though you want his president to fail?
I want the president to fail because he's a black dude.
Oh,
you
yes,
know,
all of us has just lost our house and can't get health insurance because we're sick. Can we all take a moment to grieve for a multimillionaire drug addict that can't buy a football team? Is there no justice in America?
No justice, no peace.
No justice. No peace.
Have you no decency at long last?
Oh. By the way, you guys, I just saw the video of the kid puking on the Today Show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, the link to, there's a link to it up in your Twitter feed, Stephanie.
No,
ooh,
thanks.
Something more disgusting than my Flemmy radio show this week in the media.
Oh.
57 minutes after the hour, back with a more rollicking right-wing world on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show now with twice as much phlegm as the Today Show, but not nearly as much vomit.
Oh, no.
Which is much more appetizing morning entertainment
for you.
That's
coming up minutes from now on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Attention, West Coast. Attention, West Coast. Balloon Boy is about to vomit on the Today Show.
Oh, no. 7:08. Oh, here it comes. Oh, no.
Oh, there's the family.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'll be looking at this picture of Megan Fox on my computer.
You'll be looking at Meghan McCain's Hooters.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, hey. Did you see that picture?
Yeah, baby.
Woo. Yeah, who was it that said it? They look like twin Dick Cheney heads.
Obviously a gay guy. Yeah, no, she looks hot.
Apparently the little cherub was being questioned about what he meant by saying, we did it for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops.
So they were on all three television networks. The boy at the center of the saga got sick twice when he and his father were asked during separate interviews what he meant by we did it for the show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to remember that tactic next time I'm asked a tough question I don't want to answer on TV.
Pull a stand.
I'm going to splat on some right-wing tool I'm debating until I'm ready to try that. And then I'm going to fly away in a shiny balloon.
Yeah.
So there.
Would you like to ride in my silver space balloon?
Yes. Oh, all right. Thank you for all your get well messages on both my Twitter account and my regular email at stephaniemiller.com.
And you can go to the Twitter account by going to twitter.com/smshow.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeff, this is surprising, but Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts writes, oh, my God, that voice. Steph, your voice is so sexy. Listening to the show for me yesterday was like having phone sex.
What?
I didn't realize those are the kind of services that come with my year-long subscription to a podcast. Only $4.95 a year if you buy a year in advance. Much cheaper than most phone sex.
Should be $4.95 an hour. Yeah. Or a minute.
Listen, I don't get it. I don't care why anyone thinks this is sexy. I think it sounds...
Yeah, it's not sexy at all.
Gross. Thank you, Chris.
No problem. Calls it like I sees it.
So, as I mentioned, it's been a great week in New York, other than catching the swine flu and getting bumped by Balloon Guy off television. However, I have just...
By the way, he's about ready to puke on... do you want to listen to this?
Oh, yes. Let's, please.
He made that statement.
And I know I want to point out that the sheriff's office said last night that they believe your account of what happened, but they do want to question you a little bit more today.
Dude.
Well, and I'm sure... Some of the questions.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Okay, wait, they're not. She's
Sashi
not acknowledging
right now,
it?
Just put it out there and get your honest answer. Was this a hoax or a publicity stunt?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm repetitively getting asked this in the last couple of interviews. And what have I got to gain out of this? And I'm not selling anything. I'm not advertising anything. My family and I, we do this all the
time.
Yeah,
your son is barfing.
We're always,
help
doing
him.
Some kind of scientific research. We're always building something together.
The mom is taking care of
him. I teach my kids how to shoot cameras. It's highly educational for my boys. So, absolutely not. This is not some kind of a hoax.
Okay. All right, that's good. Wow. Good for my boys to fly them into the center of a hurricane. What are you inferring?
Implying.
What are you implying that letting them curse like sailors and flying them in the eye of a tornado?
Daddy,
is
lies
bad parenting
make me
in
barf.
Some way.
Lies make me barf.
Lies make baby Jesus cry.
No, it's definitely not a show.
Lies make baby Jesus cry.
What, did the father even acknowledge that he was barfing or no?
Well, the kid was sitting on the father's lap.
The mom took him off.
Yeah, the mom, wiped the kid's face and gave him the Pyrex.
Can I just say, this really is kind of sad for the kids. I mean, me not having any kids, I don't like to judge other people's parenting, but holy cow. I mean, I don't know. This is a yikes. I did it for the show.
No, it's just not a hoax.
Chris, that's what I always say, because, you know, my life really is the show, so whenever I do something wrong, that's what I say. I did it for the show, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then Chris
I fell asleep in a pool of my own sick, because it'll make a good story tomorrow. What's your point?
You had to peel me off the heating grate this morning, because I did it for the show.
I did it for the show.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, at least I've discovered, I told you I pinpointed my next job because, you know, I love to bicycle. I love to go to spinning class.
Yes.
So when this falls through, as it inevitably will, if history is any guide, I want to drive a pedal cab in Central Park.
Right.
I want to drive fat tourists mm-hmm. around all day. But this is even better. Mike says I might have to move to Minneapolis. Steph, here's your next job in Minneapolis. You can drive the pedal pub.
The what?
You would have a captive drunk audience, and your jokes would probably get amazing laughs. Oh, it's a pedal pub.
It's a pub on pedals?
I can bicycle and drink, and the people I'm driving will be drunk.
Wow.
So I'll be even funnier. I could have a life.
Don't the police have something to say about that?
I don't know. It's going to be a rough ride in the winter in Minneapolis, but still. All right.
Snow tires, spikes on them.
Dan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks. I think you sound cute because it's like Jill St. John. If you listen to her on the old tapes, you'll maybe understand. Yeah, but anyway, The reason I called is that I finally thought of something to say to people who say that the public option and nonprofit is the first step to socialism. No, I think it's the first step to recognizing that we're a country that's genuinely sick and repulsed by people who only enrich themselves by pain and suffering of others.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you, Dan.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Good smartest boy in class today. Bling. All right, Sophia in Chicago as well on healthcare. Hello, Sophia.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone talk about the economic stimulus that would come from having everyone covered. I know lots of people who are seasoned business professionals who only work at large companies instead of starting their own businesses because they need health care that is at a set group rate that's not based on their health conditions. And small and medium-sized businesses produce the majority of jobs in the country.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, good point. All right, we were in the midst of a right-wing world before the top of the hour.
Yes.
Larry in Florida wants to defend Rush. Good morning, Larry.
Hi. First, I want to pile on. Hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
How about the outrage for Mark Cuban and his disparaging remarks for our military, and he owns a professional sports team.
What did he say?
He produced a movie that was pretty rude and pretty bad, and obviously turned into a box office bomb.
What did the movie say?
Which one?
From what the reports were on TV that I've seen, mm-hmm. He made some false allegations, and that's kind of why I understand that.
What false allegations?
Okay, what film?
I don't even know the name of the film. I didn't see the
well,
film.
Well, then how do you know what's in it?
Not the same way that Sanchez and Sharpton know what Rushball said, because they don't know. They're just making accusations.
There's actual
recordings.
All of the things that he was quoted, they backed it up with the actual audio and video from Rush's show.
I haven't seen them, and I watch the news. And how about Jay-Z, who owns the...
You obviously don't listen to this show, because we play a lot of them.
Well, no, I don't listen to your show all the time,
I'll
be honest.
Let Larry talk. Go ahead, Larry.
How about Jay-Z and his disparaging remarks towards women and him promoting rape, but he's okay to be a part owner. And you know,
Jay-Z promotes rape?
In his rap music, he absolutely
what
does.
What song?
I don't know. I hear this stuff on TV. I don't watch his music.
Because you either
like
hear it or you've seen it. Uh-huh. Okay, so what's your point about Rush?
My point is I think that... he's being treated unfairly. I don't see any facts, and I think that in your sidekick,
what we're saying is that our show and many others on TV have posted actual audio and video, so we're not. Rush claims that this has all been made up, but how do you dispute things that he's actually said that are we've played back on this show or people have played back on television?
Well, I was supposed to believe what I hear on the radio or on television, but I'm not supposed to believe what I hear on the radio or on television about Jay-Z.
But how come you
Mark
believe
Cuban?
Everything you've seen that seems to support Rush? I don't understand. What film did Mark Cuban produce that was racist?
I didn't say he produced a racist film.
Yes, you did. When you said, no, what about
I
that film that Mark...
I said he produced a film that was disparaging to our military.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, which film?
I don't remember the name of the film. Oh. Reacted, I think it was called, something like that.
Okay.
And for what the reports I've seen on, it was pretty bad, and it didn't get you.
You're talking about the reports on Rush's show, I'm guessing.
On Rush's show, on CNN, and on Fox. That's the network I watch. I don't watch mainstream news because I just don't. Also, I think that it's wrong for earlier y'all were talking about Rush, and you were running the audio where he said he loves the NFL, and then your guy, your partner there or whatever, he said, yeah, he loves the NFL, but he doesn't like black people. That's wrong. Who can say Rush doesn't like black people?
Because that's what I'm saying. People have produced actual audio with the video from the Ditto cam or whatever it is over years of things that he's said that many people have found. Why do you think the league didn't want him in? Why do you think the players didn't? Why do you think the people buying didn't want him in?
From what I understand, the league never even said they didn't want him in.
Yes, the head of the NFL and this group, including Dave Checketts, didn't want him.
What
do you think they're basing it on?
Well, the head of the NFL is an idiot. We all know that.
Oh.
If you don't know that, you're blind because the NFL is a joke. I don't even watch football, pro football.
Well, then why do you care?
I care because the only reason that Sharpton and Sanchez and many on the left are going at the Rush is because he's a successful, outspoken conservative. If Rush Limbaugh...
Well, he's a successful, outspoken, racist conservative. That's why.
No, no one has proven to me that he's racist. I think the definition...
Really?
I think
saying slavery wasn't that bad, that at least it built this country. You don't think that might be offensive?
You're also twisting the words that I heard that apparently he did say.
We played the actual audio saying to an African-American caller, take the bone out of your nose and call me back.
He did not say that slavery wasn't bad. He said slavery built the South. And that is a fact.
Yes.
Slavery did build the
South.
Like it or not, and I don't like slavery. I think it was the worst thing that ever happened to this country, and I wish to God it never happened because we wouldn't have this race card thing. The definition of race has been so widespread and it is not actually defined anymore. Anytime someone has anything to say about someone of color, they're racist, and that's wrong. But my other point is that if Rush Limbaugh...
So when he says favorable things about James Earl Ray, when he says, rest in peace and we miss you, this is the man that shot Martin Luther King to death. How else would you... You wouldn't find that offensive if you were just not a black person, just a human?
I would probably find it offensive, absolutely, but I would like to hear it in total context. That's the problem with our 24 news cycle.
Well, here's the problem, Larry, because you don't listen to outlets like ours or to regular media. You only listen to Rush and Fox. You see, you're not getting the actual facts.
I listen to Rush occasionally. I do watch Fox occasionally, and I watch CNN.
Uh-huh.
That's what I watch.
Yes.
And I only watch it occasionally because I have a busy life myself, so I don't spend my whole day in front of a television like you
I
do
see.
Because you're in that business, and I respect that.
I understand.
Let me make this point. If Rush Limbaugh was not a wealthy, successful conservative, and he had the same views, and maybe he did say...
Excuse me, Larry. A lot of wealthy, successful conservatives own football teams all over the country. The reason they don't want Rush involved is because he has a well-documented history of racism.
Again, you didn't let me finish my point. If Rush Limbaugh was Joe Limbaugh, and he was a wealthy conservative person, but not in the public view, and not as outspoken as he is, and not
right.
as
well, he is in the public view, and he has used that public microphone to be racist.
Here we go again. I'll start over again. You at least give me 30 seconds to make my point, please. If Rush Limbaugh was Joe Limbaugh, and he was a wealthy conservative but did not have the voice that Rush has and was not as hated by the left as Rush is, and those are facts. And he was sought out by a group who sought him out for his money, not his views, to be part of a group that was going to make a bid on a football team.
And guess what, Larry? It's not a constitutional right to own a...
We would have never have heard from Sharpton or Sanchez.
All right.
Okay, well, you can just keep raising your voice.
Okay, and we're getting rid of him now.
Right,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
You want to hear what Limbaugh said about slavery? He says, let's face it, we didn't have slavery in this country for 100 years because it was a bad thing. Quite the opposite. Slavery built the South. I'm not saying we should bring it back. I'm saying it had its merits. For one thing, the streets were safer after dark. That's not racist. And
I am going to just keep talking louder.
You can't say that if he was Joe Boyden-Flayton, you wouldn't say the lies.
Needless to say, the phone lines have exploded.
Yes.
I've seen it.
I've seen it on the TV. But I don't watch the TV.
See, we watch so he doesn't have to, Chris. That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If he would just listen to our show. I understand he's a busy man. I don't know what he's busy doing. We didn't get to that. However...
Oh, by the way, according to listener Michael, who writes in, says the film Mark Cuban produced that has the right apoplectic is Brian De Palma's Redacted, which is an extraordinarily powerful film about a true incident in which several Marines broke into a house, which later proved to be a false lead, raped the women, and then killed the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. But I heard.
That ain't true.
That they said bad things about the military.
I've seen it. 21 minutes after the hour of that quick
wow.
More right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Five minutes after the hour, my. Somebody, who Twittered what, Chris? There's a request.
Yes, Stu Gilkison wanted you to say Brenda Vaccaro's line from that commercial.
I'm Brenda Vaccaro for Tampax Tampons. We're not number one, but we're up there. Thank you. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. John in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, John.
Hi, Stephanie. This is an honor. I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you.
By the way, your Harvey Weinstein impression's coming along great.
Thank you. I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
That's so wrong.
No. I just find it so ironic that Rush Limbaugh was orgasming over our country's loss to get the Olympics for Chicago.
Yeah, and exactly. When the whole country loses the Olympics, he's gloating about it. And when one drug addict millionaire can't buy a team, it's like the end of the world. It's so wrong.
It's funny that it's tied somewhat, I think you're brilliant, about his deep-seated desire to own black people. I mean, I listened to Rush Limbaugh for 15 years. Listen, there's nothing more zealous than a newborn convert. The last 5 years, I would beg Larry to give you, Rush touts on his program, give me 6 weeks. That's all I need, 6 weeks, and you'll hear the truth. I want these same listeners that are on the fence to give you 6 weeks.
Thank you very much. Let's hear
the other side. I'm so passionate about it because for 15 years, again, another Rush motto is free speech doesn't mean you have the right to be heard. He is going to learn that lesson extremely well.
He doesn't have
a right to be heard. And as
Thank
people
you, John.
Realize, have a good day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's our caller's point. Well, if he were just a rich white conservative, it's like, no, he's a rich racist conservative.
Yes.
It's been very open about his racist views. That's the problem. By the way, update on the balloon boy has barfed twice on television.
Yes.
And oddly, the gag reflex, Chris, appears to be related to the question about why he said we did this for the show.
Oh, really?
Yes. When he was being asked that, he vomited.
Right.
Today's show. And then when his father was being asked the same question, he also vomited.
Flies make me barf, Daddy.
Yeah, he is on that. He is that character on South Park.
Stan,
exactly. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative James Clyburn and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Of odor.
Stephanie Miller.
Stinks. Hey, leave her alone.
You leave her alone. Yeah. You bastards are lucky I even perform for you. Sick as I am. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. So there is video. The family did videotape this balloon incident.
Apparently, yes.
Yes, they've been showing this on TV. Yeah, Chris, you're right. This smells just worse and worse.
Uh-huh.
They videotaped the whole episode with the balloon go, you know, and I guess the brother says he saw the kid get in there. But come on, if they were all there, they had to have known he didn't get in there.
Right.
The father didn't know that. I'm just, you're right, it doesn't smell right somehow.
And also, we're going to play this audio, you know, later on in the show, but apparently a YouTube video of the father of Balloon Boy has surfaced.
Yes.
And in it, he is wondering if Hillary Clinton is a reptilian alien.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's ridiculous. Everyone knows that Cindy McCain is the alien disease.
Stop it.
Come on. If this was a prank, it's not many pranks that shut down Denver International Airport.
Right.
And I was wondering, because when I was watching it, I really was concerned. Like, oh, my God, I hope he's okay. You know, and I kept thinking, what are they going to do? And sure enough, this is what they were planning to do, was use a military helicopter to lower a person, right, to get him. Or
right.
Place weights on a balloon to bring it down. Because that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, oh, my, you know, when I thought he was in there, I'm like, oh, my God, they've got to get a helicopter. They got to lower somebody, because you know how it kept tipping and... You're thinking, oh, I mean, come on. This was literally a shiny object. It held my attention all day. And now it's just comedy magic. All right. So much to get to, including bringing health care to our nation. Representative James Clyburn is the House Majority Whip. And we are honored to have him this morning. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very sick, and I need health care.
You sound like it. You sound okay. I can understand you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I know we're all distracted by Balloon Boy, but, you know, it seems like we have a pretty important health care vote coming up, don't we?
I think so. I feel pretty good about it. I think that what they're doing in the Senate right now is trying to meld together two bills. One, of course, coming out of the Finance Committee, that's got some that's without the so-called public option. The other coming out of the Health Committee, Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee of the Senate. That one does have the public option in it. And they're going to be melding those two bills over the next week or so. And we'll see what product they produce and send to conference. Now, we'll start next week firming up our legislation on the House side. And, of course, we are going to really come up with a bill that I think will have the public option. There will probably be a different public option than what a lot of people may be expecting. There are ways to do this, many different ways. You could do it the way a lot of people have been talking about, where you negotiate the rates. That seems to be what they did on the Health Committee in the Senate. Or you could do it tying the rate to Medicare, what we call a robust public option, Medicare plus 5. That's the way it was done in our committee of Ways and Means, and, of course, Education and Labor. Or you might be able to have some what I call a hybrid of these things that seem to be negotiated on our side, and we're now trying to get CBO to score that. The problem we've got is CBO says that if you do it negotiated rates, you get a savings of around $25 to $30 billion. If you go with Medicare plus 5, you get a savings of around $110 billion. And now there may be some combination or blending or,
right,
I would say, a hybrid of those two that would be somewhere in between.
Well, I mean, so the good news is it sounds like Nancy Pelosi is really taking a strong stand on this and giving the Senate a warning that, you know, there will be a public option.
Well, we go into the committee with a to the conference with a public option. There's no question about that. We're just trying to figure out how best to get there. Now, there are a lot of people who think we ought to have the strongest possible public option and go to the conference and then reach some kind of compromise between whatever the Senate does and what we do. I'm not necessarily of that opinion. I do believe that what we ought to do is go to the conference with the strongest possible vote that we can get. And the strength of the vote could reinforce our members in the committee. You know, if you go hobbling into the conference with 218 votes, no matter what it is, that could very well be interpreted as a weak approval of whatever you go there with.
Right.
So the stronger you are going into the conference doesn't necessarily mean the strongest vote you get. The strongest bill you get, but could very well be the strongest vote you get.
Yep. Representative, this was the president yesterday. Take a listen.
We are going to pass health care reform by the end of this year.
And I am feeling more and more confident that that is so.
I think the president is right about that. I think that we're going to give this nation a tremendous Christmas present, a Christmas present that's been in the making for almost 100 years. Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican, first proposed this 90-some-odd years ago. Harry Truman, a Democrat, sent it to the Congress 61 years ago. And, of course, we remember Bill Clinton, the Democrat, made the attempt 16
yep.
years ago.
But, you know, here's what I loved. You know, the president yesterday, he's, you know, that fighting spirit is back. And a lot of people have been saying this, Congressman, through this whole thing, is that he's playing rope-a-dope. And, you know, no one's ever made any money betting against Barack Obama. Listen to this yesterday.
I don't quit. I'm not tired. I'm just getting started.
I was fired up and ready to go yesterday after I saw him speak.
Well, I think that the closer he stays to a campaign mode, the better off he and we are going to be, because I think that the American people know that there are tremendous challenges, and that you are going to meet these challenges with a rope-a-dope approach. You've got to be proactive. You got to be out there. You got to be upbeat about it. You got to stay on the offensive,
yep.
Because we are doing things that challenge the status quo.
Yep.
The rope-a-dope will not get you the way you need to be. You got to be on the offensive, and I think that's the way he was at these events on yesterday. That's certainly the way. We are pursuing this in the House of Representatives. We are going after the status quo.
And we thank you for that every day, and we thank you for taking time for us. House Majority Whip James Clyburn, thank you so much, Congressman.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you. Yeah, his job, you know, Chris, is to keep Democrats in line, to get the votes. That's what the whip does.
That's right.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so it turns out the Republicans will not retaliate against Olympia Snow because...
I want you dead. I want your family dead. I want your house burned to the ground.
Yes. Well, that's other than that. Yeah, I love John Kyle said that. My job as whip is not to twist her arm, but to bring her all the information that we can bring to bear on the issue and hope that people vote the way we like to see them vote. Information like Jim just imparted. Things like that.
Yeah.
We're not trying to influence you. We're just saying house, family, dog. Okay. Let's go to Tim in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. I dislike Rush Limbaugh with a passion, but I do agree with some people saying out there that, you know, maybe he should be able to own his own team. We do have a free market system where you can buy what you want.
Yes, but that's welcome to it. Welcome to the free market, Rush. We wish we could get on 600 radio stations, but we can't. No.
Well, I think you should be able to, and I think everyone should go ahead and keep supporting you like we have so that way you can get the, you know.
Right, but my point is, you know, Rush is a big fan of the free market. This is the free market. You don't have a right to buy a football team,
The thing is that he went ahead and he pulled out. He stopped going ahead and fighting for to try to get his own football team because he's seen all this crap coming out. And, yes, he's a racist. We know this. But... I don't see why there's a lot of people throwing a fit about this, especially when you still have Michael Vick in the NFL, who's making multi-million dollars a year.
I'm not throwing a fit about it, Tim. I just think that, you know what, the people that are, Dave Check, it's the people that are doing the bid, if he called him a complication, and he is. He is a complication, in my opinion, for America.
I meant that first caller who called today. I was actually going to call and defend him, and then he went off on a complete tangent where he just made me up angry. And it's like, you know what? Listen, look at everyone who's been – look at everything Russia's done against this country. He's gone ahead and sat there. Right when we didn't get the Olympics, I swear to God, I thought I seen one of his left rolls go over his shoulder. He was so happy jumping up and down.
All right, thank you, Tim, for calling. Yeah, I love that. That was a happy moment for America losing the Olympics, but it's the saddest moment in our history when a rich white racist man can't buy a football team. All right, 43 minutes after the hour, back with more of the Rush reaction in right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
curiouser Balloon Boy does, 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Reading a transcript of the CNN interview.
Yeah.
First of all, the police, they searched the house, right? I mean, obviously, that's where they looked first. How could they not find the kid, the family, and the police?
Did they search the house first?
Yeah, they said they searched. It wasn't there.
Huh.
I mean, I don't think you shut down Denver International Airport. It is a hub.
Yes.
You check the attic. Anyway, but so during the live interview with CNN, Falcon said he had heard his family calling his name. You did? His mother asked. Why didn't you come out, Richard Heen said. Falcon answered, you had said we did this for a show.
Oh.
Heen told NBC his son was confused by the question, being only 6 years old. Oh, yes. Oh, dear. All right. Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good.
I had to call about your earlier caller screaming about Rush and stuff because he used Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban tried to buy the Chicago Cubs and was not allowed to buy the Cubs because the former owner said they didn't want to sell them to him. So using Mark Cuban as an example in comparison to Rush is as dumb as you can get. And, well, it's not as dumb as you, listening to Rush Limbaugh is as dumb as you can get.
There you go.
Okay, but and another thing is, you called Rush a drug addict, and you were on the Ed show, and he calls him the drugster. I don't understand why everybody on radio and TV don't call Rush Limbaugh what he is. He's a big fat junkie.
Well, okay. Yes.
Sorry.
Except he's lost a lot of weight.
I used the wrong name
probably.
Calling. Pardon me.
No, he's putting it back on again.
Term.
Is he?
He's putting the weight back
well,
on.
Well, that's what happens if you lose that much weight that quickly. You actually become a more efficient fat-storing machine. It's true. It's actually true. You slow down your metabolism when you do that.
Malcolm in Boise, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Show. Oh, Malcolm's no longer with us.
Oh, right. Yeah. Richard in Indiana, go ahead. Hey, Richard.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening the last couple days about this Rush Limbaugh thing, and I heard somewhere where they said that words have their consequences. And I don't know if it was on your show or somebody else's show, but do you remember how the right wing got their shorts in a wad when the Dixie Chick said something about their president being from Texas?
Yeah.
That's how hypocritical the right wing is.
It's absolutely. Thank you, Richard. Yeah, isn't this the most, blatant example of how they're just the me party? You know, I think Obama was elected on really the power of we.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole we're the ones we've been waiting for. Are you kidding? He's happy when the whole country loses the Olympics. He wants our president to fail. And it's the saddest moment in America. Some rich, racist white man can't buy a professional sports
and
team.
And why does any entity, are they required to take every bid? You know, if
exactly.
they're not going to, they can't take all of them.
Yeah.
It's
not a right. It's
you don't have
Constitution.
A constitutional right to own a football team.
And you're not entitled to life, liberty, and a professional football team.
That's right.
All right. Fred Barnes on the Brit Burr Show on this very subject.
And, it tells you something about not only what liberals and people and an awful lot of people in the media think about Rush Limbaugh as a mm-hmm. conservative, mm-hmm. but about conservatives in general, that somehow underneath it all, they're racist. You know, we hear now from a lot of supporters of Obama that those who disagree with Obama and criticize President Obama are racist. That's what it's based on. It's based on racism.
No, it's actually like a racist lasagna. It's right on top, and then there's another layer
another
of fat,
layer.
And then there's more racism, and then more
right.
fat, and then some more...
it's like a racist shepherd's pie.
Yeah, there you go.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear as well.
This clearly is a case where a club, the NFL, has decided it does not want an outspoken conservative, and you can't say that. It's obviously about ideology, so you blame it on racism, which is a false accusation, and I think they ought to apologize to him.
Should I read some of the racist quotes,
Jim?
Again?
Yes.
See if the computer will let me.
Read some of the Rush Limbaugh racist fun facts.
Well, we talked about the slavery thing. So.
Well, we need to be careful about that one because that came from a book, 101 People Who Are Really Screwing America, by John Huberman, and none of the quotes in that book were sourced.
Oh.
So we need to be careful about the merits of slavery quote.
Well, there's lots of other ones.
Right,
and,
there are.
Trust me,
right.
I've heard lots of other ones.
Right, I know, I know.
That he's, you know, who deserves a posthumous Medal of Honor? James Earl Ray. We miss you, James. Godspeed. He's the, you know, murderer of Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Nice. Have you ever noticed how all composite pictures of wanted criminals resemble Jesse Jackson?
Yes. Where's his Rush music, Chris?
Uh-uh.
All right, go ahead, Jim.
The NAACP should have riot rehearsal. They should get a liquor store and practice robberies, my friends. Let me put it this way. The NFL often looks like a game between the Bloods and the Crips without any weapons. There, I said it. They're 12% of the population. Who the hell cares? Take that bone out of your nose and call me back. You know, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get these racist
allegations. I've actually heard the clips and seen the clips on television, yeah. All right, O'Reilly. You would imagine defending him as a fellow beleaguered rich white man in America.
Now, I've been through this. A couple of years ago, I said on the radio that having dinner in Harlem at Sylvia's restaurant was the same as having dinner anywhere in America. The context was my grandmother, who was very afraid of blacks, even though she never even met a black person. Her fear was irrational, and I made that point quite clearly. But the vicious website Media Matters put forth I was denigrating a black-owned restaurant. And some people actually believed it without even listening to the radio broadcast, which I posted on BillO'Reilly.com so everybody could hear it.
Wait.
Well,
we,
there goes my NFL career.
Wait, we have it, Bill. I think it was... By the way, that's what Media Matters does. They just post the actual audio, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the reason it was racist is because... You sounded really startled
that
a black restaurant was just like a white restaurant. Do we have that, Chris?
Use forks and knives like regular people. Wow.
Do we have that clip, Chris?
He's looking.
Okay. I believe we used to have the clip, but yeah, he seemed quite startled that there was not regular shoutings of mother effer.
No one said, get me my MF and key. I was shocked.
He thought that there involved a lot of yelling and expletives going to a black restaurant.
Apparently, there were educated, middle-class black people. Who knew?
For some reason, I'm not finding it.
Oh, all right. Well, we have the audio. It's you know...
Yeah, we played it over and over again on the show.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah.
He was speaking... He's like, what? I was defending black restaurants as to how civilized it is. They use forks and knives and why they eat food.
Napkins.
All right, Juan Williams on O'Reilly.
I think this is a witch hunt. I think this is really what's going on here is a political attack on somebody the left absolutely loathes. The left can't stand him, and they want to get in his way at any time possible.
And Rich and Sean Hannity, fellow right, white, rich, conservative man defending his friend on the saddest day in America.
There's no bigger football fan than Rush Limbaugh. We're both friends of his. We're fans of his. He loves football. No bigger fan in the world. This is bad for this country that this kind of character assassination can go on. Lies can be told by people that just don't like him because of his political beliefs.
No, because of his racist pronouncements.
It's bad for this country. Yeah, thank God we don't have any other problems in this country right now. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to America, Sean. Or so your little buddy, the noted he/she journalist Ann Coulter.
But one thing that I think might be, I don't know, in my book, unforgivable, would be being a Nazi collaborator. And oh yeah, part of the consortium trying to buy the St. Louis Rams is still George Soros, who admitted on TV to having collaborated with the Nazis. But he's fine because he owns the Democratic Party.
What?
What?
When did he say that?
No, he survived the Holocaust.
Yeah, he was.
What? Is that how we collaborate with the Nazis?
By surviving them?
By pretending?
By not getting killed?
Pretending to be captured and then what? Oh, I see. Oh, maybe it was a prank like Balloon Boy. He collaborated by letting himself be put into a concentration camp and then escaping.
Talk about Prescott Bush, people want to talk about Nazi collaborators.
Shut down Denver Airport. What? 57 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Fuglesang is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to shoot down an Ann Coulter lie. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show now with 45% more phlegm, but I have not vomited on the Today Show, so there's still less noxious fluids coming out of your radio by listening to this than watching television. 6 minutes after the hour, happy Friday, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Are you going to get better by the end of the weekend?
Oh, let's hope so.
I hope so, too.
I'm sure after I fly Screaming Baby Airlines home and catch something else.
Yeah. Or give whatever you have to everybody on that plane.
Oh, between that and Balloon Boy bumping me off MSNBC last night, how much do I hate children this morning? Oh.
Do not go to spinning class this weekend.
Friggin' Balloon Boy. Whatever. I fly all the way to New York to be on MSNBC twice this week, and I get bumped by Balloon Boy. Let me just say, I found one family where the parenting may be worse. Did you see this story out of Alabama? Officials say a drunk father and son burglarized a home and were caught after the son was found passed out under the invalid homeowner's bed.
Oh.
The father sneaked out, but the son apparently passed out in his hiding place under the homeowner's bed. The neighbor turned out to be the son's grandfather. The father and the drunk son were trying to rob the grandfather. At least they don't chase storms. You know, President Obama was in New Orleans yesterday. I wonder if this Heaney Fiend family tried to chase Hurricane Katrina. I'm not sure when all the top stories are going to start colliding today,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, exactly. Oy.
No, that was Blackwater.
Any moment. Oh, all right. Here are the fun facts. Ann Coulter had just said in our last Right-Wing World soundbite that George Soros is trying to buy the St. Louis Rams, and he was a Nazi collaborator.
Right.
And as I understood it, Jim, he actually was a Holocaust survivor.
Yes. This is on Snopes.com. It's from a 1998 60 Minutes broadcast. When the Nazis occupied Budapest in 1944, George Soros' father was a successful lawyer. Knowing there were problems ahead for the Jews, he decided to split his family up. He bought them forged papers and bribed a government official to take 14-year-old George Soros in and swear that he was his Christian godson. But survival carried a heavy price tag. While hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews are being shipped off to the death camps, George Soros accompanied his phony godfather on his appointed rounds, confiscating property from the Jews. So that was the extent of his so-called Nazi collaboration.
Oh, so when he was 14, he was a Nazi collaborator.
Should have been tried as an adult.
Yep.
I see.
Yes.
All right. Hey, wait a minute. I recognize that voice. I can't see the doorbell in Los Angeles, but I think Don Fugel. Hello.
Hello.
Don Fugel sang.
Hey, Steffers.
Extraordinaire for Fridays with Fugel sang.
Thank you. Oh, you sound so nice and feminine.
Don't you wish you are here?
I love this
New York
voice.
Studio with me.
Oh, I do. You have this really foxy Lauren Bacall, Harvey Fierstein love child thing going on. What a trooper going on the air like that. Really, really good.
Oh, boy. I just
between coughs on the plane, just say, damned Mexican pigs.
I knew I shouldn't have had the Mexican chimichanga.
Yeah, the pork chimichanga.
Pork chimichanga.
What a trooper you are, Steph Miller.
Yes, that's what I'm just doing this for sympathy. So, John Fugel saying, has there been a comedy story quite like the Balloon Boy?
I think it's not a coincidence that Limbaugh was rejected by the NFL the same week as Balloon Boy, because in both cases you have an overinflated gas bag crashing to earth, but luckily there's no soul inside either. So I actually see some parallels
here. John Fugel saying, you wrote that in advance. Come on, Matt.
No. Oh, it's hilarious. I like seeing him throw up on the news all morning today, because they're method hoaxers. You know, he gets the air sickness the next day. But I do want to point out the kid spent exactly as much time in dangerous airspace as George W. Bush did during NAM. So we all got punked by a six-year-old.
Just
amazing. Just amazing. But I got to say,
George Bush only had the IQ of a six-year-old, right. But we were punked by him as well. Thank you.
But for me, it was really kind of moving to have, for 2 hours on a Thursday, have all of America fixated on one story that doesn't involve us all hating each other.
Right.
You know, like everyone came together hoping this child in this balloon was okay. Everyone came together and realizing they hate the dad and he's a douche.
But yeah, now we've all come together and hating them.
How great to have one news story that we're all fixated on that's not got us all fighting each other. So
yes, finally something bipartisan. I know. It was literally the shiny object I was distracted by. I'll tell you.
They'll find a way to blame it on Obama.
They will.
Fox News.
They will.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you finish.
I was so transfixed. I'm in hair and makeup, sick as a dog, with my fake eyelashes on, and I get bumped, and I didn't even care. I'm like, it's okay. I want to hear more about Balloon Boy.
Well, I'm going to let Balloon Boy finish, but Boo Radley was the best creepy kid in the attic of all time. All time.
Yeah, this story just gets weirder and weirder, doesn't it, John? It's like, you know, I mean, first of all, there's video of the family letting the balloon go, because that's like, you know, there's all these questions. Well, how did the balloon go? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? How did they not know he wasn't in there? Or what? And then it's just, you know, the boy is at this point the character on South Park. He barfed twice this morning on the same question. How come you said it was for the show?
Yeah, and then they've been on wife swap. I'm looking forward to the state putting the children on parent swap. It seems like they were completely put up to it by a father who wants to get back on TV. And at this point, whenever somebody really screws up in the public sector, I'm just like, okay, what reality show were they on?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, oh, God, they were on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I got bumped actually by the wife that was swapped with this wife of the Bloom Boy family.
What a get.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And she's supposed to be a psychic. You're like, yeah, couldn't you have told him the kid was in the attic in a box?
Well, the good news is somewhere Orly Tate's got bumped for this story so he could feel good.
Let me finish. I don't want to hear about Balloon Boy.
I thought it was great theater. It was entertaining TV, and it was amazing to see how UFO hoaxes are done. And, you know, because apparently his dad is, there's video of his dad trying to prove his theory that there is life on Mars, mm-hmm. and that electrical storms, and that there's proof of temples, that there are ancient ruins of temples on Mars. There were Scientology temples, but all the same. And, this story's only going to get a lot more fun, and he'll have his own show on Fox News in no time.
And the good news is, it's maybe it'll all be a happy bipartisan ending, and Rush can buy a hot air balloon team.
I loved your commentary on Limbaugh all morning. It's amazing. You know, I kind of feel bad for a guy who can't hold down a relationship, and now he's been turned down by sheep. I mean, that's the Rams,
yeah,
right?
Rams.
I'm hiring a lobbyist to bribe Rush's Overeaters Anonymous sponsor to make him eat more donuts, you know? Because, Rush, you're allowed now. Have the extra box of Entenmann's. Go ahead. But he found out NFL's just not that into you, Rush.
But,
you know, a lot of your last caller calling in saying that he had a right to buy the team, and of course he does, but it's a capitalist system. And, you know, he alienated himself with his own comments. Jim was quoting a lot of them before. The guy's a pig. Mm-hmm. But it's important to remember, though, that, you know, it's not just that Rush is a racist. It's tribalist. He has no problem with black folks who look, talk, dress, and vote like him. Clarence Thomas performed his third failed marriage, you might recall. Clarence Thomas married Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
It's tribalism. It's afraid of anyone different than him. And he hates white liberals as much as he hates black folk who aren't conservative.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was my favorite moment. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a great Ed show last night at MSNBC. So Arne and Huffington, because the news broke on the show, which is why a lot of us got bumped. So he goes to Arianna Huffington, who I love, and she's like, I don't understand why we're talking about this. The boy is safe. Why are we even talking about this on the television? Because
mm-hmm.
there's so many more important things to cover. First of all, you probably should not like tell the host what he should be covering. But it was. But I love it because actually Arianna, talk about publicity stunts. She was on to talk about how she's asking Joe Biden to resign.
Yes, of course.
If we send more troops into Afghanistan. It's like, oh, come on. Do you really think Joe Biden's going to resign?
Yeah, I read that editorial. I hope Joe doesn't pass it off as his own. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, although I did appreciate the points that she made in the editorial, but yeah, I mean, Afghanistan's only going to get messier. But I'm defending Balloon Boy as a story. I really am. I think it was a legitimate story. I like that all of America came together concerned about a child. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, overall, I think it was a positive thing. And now, of course, now it'll just peter out and everyone will be sick of it. But at the time, it was fascinating TV.
I was upset yesterday because it was getting in the way of me doing my job and getting sound bites for this show today. Damn it.
You're like, what?
Yeah, it's all about me.
Audio, a shiny balloon, that's the thing.
You can't get audio on that.
We're not shiny balloon people. We're audio people.
Yes.
It got attention off Limbaugh. You know, I feel the most bad for Michael Vick because he almost got to be the second most hated man in the NFL.
You know what it would have made the two top stories collide, John, is if the kid had been floating in two of Meghan McCain's airborne breasts.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you something. Those are the two biggest Republican boobs since the Beltway boys.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
He calls the left one Kondracki.
Yeah, I love this from delisted.com. Meghan McCain was feeling spontaneous last night, so she posted this picture of her book on Twitter. This started some bleep, but it didn't take long for Meghan's followers to throw the slut word at her. Mm-hmm. Usually, when someone calls me a slut, I curtsy and say thank you. But Megan took this as an insult. Go figure. She said she might quit Twitter because what was once fun now seems like a vessel for harassment.
Mm-hmm. Right, because she put this picture of her feeding the children of the world on there.
D-List said, as much as I love a pair of magnificent chichis, Megan's cleavage kind of looks like twin Dick Cheney heads hiding in her shirt.
Buzzkill.
Yeah,
they kind of did, though.
Those seem like they need to be tethered down somewhere in the backyard. Should not be allowed to ride them.
No. they really did look like some kind of science experiment.
They really did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Next to Olympia Snow, she's our second favorite Republican this week.
Hey!
Jim, Keanu Reeves in the celebrity stack as well in entertainment news this week. He is not the father of a Canadian woman's children. The Matrix actor had been accused of fathering at least one of her four adult children. He has proved he's not biologically linked to the family after agreeing to a series of DNA tests.
Son.
Whoa.
That's most heinous that she accused him of.
Most heinous.
You mean the FBI saying I'm a dad?
Hey, I was in the FBI in that movie. You could tell because I talked real low. And real serious. I'm an FBI dude. Wow.
Another buttocks injection has gone awry, my friend.
What?
Huh?
No.
Oh, you mean Glenn Beck's hire at Fox?
Hey.
There now. Mexican rock star Alexandra Guzman says she has been hospitalized with an infection from buttocks injection she had to make herself more beautiful.
How?
I know, you thought it was a Larry Craig story, but no, I'm sorry. Can't go there. Taylor Swift will host Saturday Night Live this weekend here in New York City, presumably without interruption from Kanye West.
I wonder what they'll joke about with her for 90
yes.
minutes.
Yeah. I wonder if the actual Kanye will interrupt her again. That would be funny.
That might be a coup.
I don't know. They've milked that thing so hard my nipples hurt.
And, John, this is right up your alley. Since you talk about religious things all the time, Sarah Silverman has a new proposal for ending world hunger. Sell the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a brilliant idea.
Yes, it's on the YouTubes in time for UN World Food Day on Friday. She suggests it's time for the Pope to move out of your house that's a city and use the proceeds to feed the world's poor. On an ego level alone, you'll be the biggest hero in the history of ever. Sell the Vatican, feed the world.
Oh, she's exactly right. And I've been saying for years, you can sell one painting and feed Bangladesh for a year. You know,
mm-hmm. She's a problem solver.
The nuns take a vow of poverty. When my mom went into the convent, that's a real vow of poverty. Priests, it's not always the same. Some priests have a real vow of poverty, and some live in giant mansions and wear rings on their finger that could take care of India for half a decade.
Yeah.
And it's the most rank form of hypocrisy, and the Vatican, for many years, has had the chance to be the greatest leader in social justice, but they like to wear their hats instead.
It's all about the hats.
When you're run by a homophobe.
He needs all those rooms just for the hats. Come on.
We're run by a homophobe wearing red Gucci slippers all the time. Something's not smelling right in Denmark.
20 minutes after the hour, we will try to resist Balloon Boy, but we probably will not be able to stay away from the shiny object as we return on Fridays with Fugle Sang right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
President in New Orleans yesterday.
I'm especially glad to come back here because I remember 4 years ago, right after the storm, a lot of people here felt forgotten.
Yeah, and no word on whether the crazy family tried to weather chase Hurricane Katrina, but perhaps the Bush administration would have paid more attention had there been so much better coverage if there had been a Balloon Boy involved in some way. By the way, Bobby Jindal got a boo. Did you hear when he...
Oh, did he?
Because we're Americans and we can do anything.
Americans can do anything.
And if we want to boo our governor, we will.
Bobby Jindal, boy governor.
And he also mentioned the president. He said, I'm proud my FEMA director has 25 years of experience in disaster management.
Yeah.
Ooh, snap.
Yeah, but what's his Arabian horse experience?
That's yeah. Now, President Obama can have another giant check to hand out in front of cameras, please. That guy's exactly. Ed McMahon had nothing on Bobby Jindal, my God.
Right.
Exactly. Derek in L.A. on Balloon Boy. Hello, Derek.
Oh, it's not about Balloon Boy. It's about Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, go ahead.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Whatever.
Okay.
Overinflated gas bag.
Hot air, whatever.
Stephanie, you should have told that guy that was defending Rush Limbaugh. The whole world is feeling just like Steph right now. The only thing they're missing the nap is because we're sick and tired of racists like Rush Limbaugh.
Yep. Thank you, sir. All right. Mike in L.A. on the Rush incident as well. Hello, Mike.
Hey, yeah. I need you guys to help me out. My mother and I have been having this flame war on Facebook about Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-oh.
She thinks that the reason that the media has paid so much attention to it is just because he's a conservative. And she made the argument that if Robert Byrd, who used to be in the KKK, wanted to buy a minority share of the Rams, that no one would care. And I said that it was, in fact, really about the fact that he's gone on the air on a nationally syndicated radio show and said, you know, underrated things about NFL Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks just because they're black. It'd be more like if Don Imus wanted to buy a share in the WNBA team.
Here's the thing, Mike. Lots of rich white conservative men own football teams.
Lots
they don't
of
have
them.
A history of making racist comments like Rush
right.
does. That's the difference.
They're not all liberals who own the NFL. They'd have hemp jerseys otherwise.
Right. And Rush has never denounced what he has done in the past. Robert Byrd has.
Well, yeah, Robert Byrd. First of all, they use examples. Thank you for calling. They use examples like, you know, from how many, was that 50 years ago?
Yeah,
right. 70 years ago.
What's the thing, Jim, you just debunked that Ann Coulter said, oh, George Soros can buy the, but he was a Nazi sympathizer. What?
No, he wasn't.
Because he was trying to escape the Holocaust when he was 14?
Yeah. Well, that's a lie, and it has to be called as such. And, you know, in defense of Robert Byrd, this is a man who spent his entire career retracting his past and trying to own up for it, performing a very public penance. This is the guy who just voted for a Latina to go in the Supreme Court last month.
And by the way, he's not trying to buy a team. I love the hypotheticals. Oh, yeah, well, it would be like...
But if he did, his civil rights record of the past 30 years speaks for itself.
Right.
Yep.
And Rush Limbaugh's public record of the last 30 years speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Chris in Illinois on Rush. Hello, Chris.
One thing that I don't hear too many people say on the Rush, you know, he's kind of made it seem like everybody, including President Obama, stopped him from being a part of this group. The guy who was the lead investor in the group, he dumped Rush.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
It's capital.
Thank you. This is your free market, Rush. This is the way it works.
These were his friends.
It's the free market. They didn't want him. He was tainted. You know, he's bad. They didn't want him on their team. So they dumped him. The NFL never got a chance to dump
him.
Yes, thank you. Good point. You're the smartest boy in class today. Thank you.
We have to point out all the time, though, that the modern Republican Party is not conservative, and they're not even really capitalist. You look at the Bush administration. These guys stopped being capitalists when they began rewarding failure with bailouts. Mm-hmm. They stopped being capitalists when they had no-bid contracts for Iraq, when they carved it up for their friends. And they stopped being capitalists when they were afraid of Canadian drugs and competition in the healthcare arena. If these guys were real capitalists, they'd say, bring on the public option. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, John Fugel saying, you are going to drive the bus for Mama for the last half hour.
Because
my fine friends at the Clear Channel, whom we love, they booked me a little too early out of New York. And Mama has to go to the airport now and catch my screaming baby airline so I can catch some other some other ailment in addition to the one I have now. So Fridays with Fugel saying we'll continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're
Monday. See
you
Monday,
Steph.
From L.A. Goodbye.
Bye.
Stephanie Miller.
Who put the Duchess of Dork in charge?
You're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. This is Stephanie, not Stephanie. This is Chris.
You are Chris.
Yes. And that is John Fugel saying Stephanie had to run and catch a flight out at JFK. And
indeed she did. You're stuck with me, kids.
Hey.
I'm back in Mama's seat, and it smells of lavender. And we're going to be taking your calls. We're going to be talking for the next half hour. I am delighted to be taking over the reins from Ms. Miller. We're going to talk about the Baucus bill, which I think was so watered down, Schwarzenegger now wants to drop it on the California wildfires. We're going to talk about Balloon Boy, of course, and we're talking about America's sweetheart, Rush Limbaugh. Did you ever read his book, The Way Things Ought to Be?
No.
It's a book of personal opinions called, modestly enough, The Way Things Ought to Be, which in German translates loosely to Mein Kampf. Let's talk to Matthew. Matthew's calling us from Dallas about Rush Limbaugh. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, John.
Hi.
The thing is, the NFL seems to have made a habit of getting teams owned by Thule people. My beloved Dallas Cowboys.
By what kind of people?
Very Thule people.
New favorite adverb.
Yeah, right. My beloved Dallas Cowboys is owned by the infamous Jerry Jones, who decided to toss a bunch of people out houses and build a ginormous new stadium just because he felt like building a new stadium. And, you know, the St. Louis Rams, they could probably benefit a little bit from Rush Limbaugh, but from a strictly humane standpoint, I don't think the fans could stand to watch Rush Limbaugh gyrating around the owner's box. Just, you know, the very few times.
Heard concession sales, I'm sure.
The very few times that team might actually get a touchdown, you know, that'd just be like, oh, there he is on the Megatron. No, that's just life-size. Dang. Okay.
Well, I mean, you make a good point, but I got to say, and I want to thank you for your call, Matthew, but you make a good point. A lot of the right-wing guys do already own these football teams. It's not a conservative bias. Rush Limbaugh was bad for business, and this is how capitalism works. It's the beautiful thing of the system. Now, we already had several black players standing up and saying that they weren't going to play for Rush.
Right.
I was looking forward to seeing some Caucasian players step up and say, I won't play for Rush Limbaugh. And I was hoping this thing would play on a bit longer so we get a chance to see it. But when Rush is complaining about the liberals keeping him down, the media keeping him down, look, he realized that hate is a door that swings both ways. Okay,
absolutely.
And he found out this week that it hit him right in the face.
Yep.
The beautiful thing about this is capitalism. This works. Mm-hmm. He had a right. He had every right in the world to try and buy that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a right to turn him down.
Exactly right. And these were his own friends who dropped him. It wasn't liberals. It wasn't black folks. These were his own pals.
Absolutely.
That's who we should complain to.
And now he's, you know, whining like a little bitch all over the...
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Isn't it just entertaining?
Yes.
My friends, I have been grievously harmed.
But that's the beauty.
How could they?
Let Rush, let him be that way, you know? There's a big story on Huffington Post today about how the teabaggers are going to be scaring moderate voters away from the Republican Party.
Yes.
I think that's great. You know, whenever someone tries to shut down the teabaggers, I'm like, Democrats, stop blowing it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't, to borrow a radio expression, don't F up these F-ups when they're F-ing up this F-ing much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the freak flags fly. Let's talk to Mike. Mike is calling us today from Chicago. Mike, you there?
Hey, gang, how are you today?
Word.
By chance, did you, anyone get a chance to see Stephanie or Rachel yesterday? She had Tim Phillips, who was the backer of the Max Cleland bashing 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, as she's winding down, she says, well, with all due respect, I find you a parasite surviving on the blood of the American people. It was awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
And as far as Rush Limbaugh goes, you know, yesterday on Fox, they're talking about, well, if the liberals would have said anything like this, you'd never hear it in the mainstream media. And I'm saying the liberals would never say anything like that.
Exactly.
They have a conscience.
Right. Exactly. And you're very right, Mike. Thank you. But once you start talking that way, you've ceased to be a liberal. And once you start using racial invective, you're not liberal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of people still call themselves liberal, but they ain't. Same with conservatives. I mean, when you're supporting a president who spends money like Courtney Love in Amsterdam, you're no longer a conservative. You've dropped it. But I think that very often we get caught up in these tribal names, you know,
yeah.
And people say that they're a conservative when really the policies of the politicians they support don't reflect that at all.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you agree with every single plank of either party's platform, you're kind of an idiot.
Well, yeah, I mean, there really are four separate groups, and that's one thing I love about this show and what Stephanie and you guys do doing the Lord's work every year, every day, is that there's Democrats and liberals, there's conservatives and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get overlap. Look, Bill Clinton balanced a budget 8 years in a row.
Right.
No Republican president has balanced a budget since Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
That makes Bill Clinton, to me, a responsible conservative.
Small C conservative, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or like a Nelson Rockefeller conservative, you know? Like,
yeah.
And back in the 70s, we had liberal Republicans. Now we have Schwarzenegger, I guess.
He's not a Republican in any way, shape, or form anymore.
No, he's not. But, you know, when Clinton was in office, it was an amazing thing. When he first began, I was so impressed by how much this man was trying to do. And then he had his butt handed to him, and so he retreated and went to the right. And when Bill Clinton went to the right after 1994, something amazing happened. He got more popular. He saved his presidency by going to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He betrayed a lot of liberal beliefs he'd had, and he saved his presidency. And the conservatives hated him for it.
Right.
He adopted their ideology, but they hated him for it. And the liberals loved him because he was getting more popular. And I thought, this isn't about beliefs at all. It's about who's got the ball right now.
Yeah.
And very often we easily trade in what we say our core beliefs are because we want our team to win. And that's what I like about this show, and that's what I like about the modern liberal movement. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a bunch of well-intentioned people fighting each other, and that's why it takes so long for any progress.
That's what liberals do, though. You know?
I know. But, and I, all,
but
that's how it's always been.
It's not, yeah, yeah.
There were people protesting slavery the day Columbus began doing it. It took 400 years to make it law because liberals aren't as organized as conservatives.
Right.
That's why...
Liberals can't even organize a pizza party.
But I keep telling people, you know, who are counting out the Republicans and saying the Republican Party's dead. I don't think so. Republicans show up to vote. Those kids are organized. And Will.i.am is not going to do any rap videos for the midterm elections. So
right.
It's important yeah. that people stay focused and stay committed to what the real issues are. And is this John in Chicago?
Hey, you know, now that a rather admirable amount of pressure has been brought to bear to block Rush Limbaugh from, you know, being involved in the purchase of an NFL team, I think it's important for us to redirect our efforts at putting the same amount of pressure on whatever beauty pageant is. Was it the Miss America pageant that's going to have him as a judge?
Miss USA, I believe it was. Or Miss America.
USA.
It is Miss
yeah,
America.
I don't know which one. Mm-hmm. I really, really wish that the same amount of outrage about the NFL thing was focused on that, because I just can't see the guy being put in a position to judge anyone for anything. It just makes me sick.
Well, but you would agree that the producers of that show have a right to hire Rush Limbaugh to try and get ratings for their program, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, I suppose. I mean, and
people have a right to not tune in and give them bad worse ratings
too, but yeah, I just hope that people express themselves about it, that's all.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I think that we will see a lot of people protesting that, and it's going to be the most interesting Miss America of all time, I mean, which is saying something.
What would happen if a woman who was a contestant who was an African American said, you know, I don't want to participate in the pageant because I think
this
guy's
entirely
right
possible.
Well, I'm sorry, but in that case, that woman would be disqualified, and she would deserve it. She can't. You're already into degrading yourself when you're going for that to begin with. I mean, I think it's kind of fitting that Rush Limbaugh is hosting Miss America, because, quite frankly, I need about 17 OxyContin just to watch that show. Thank you very much. But, you know, Rush Limbaugh's good TV, and I think that we can say conservatively that the Miss America pageant goes for a conservative audience.
I think so.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because liberals tend to be more
squeamish about
more,
that.
Yeah. More yeah. feminist about things like that, I guess.
Perhaps. You know, it's fun, but it's going to be very interesting to see. And Limbaugh is really trying desperately hard. It seems like he's trying so hard to break out of his conservative box and be more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he goes on the radio and keeps going further and further into his own right-wing hate world.
Right. Well, yeah, he has been in his own little world for quite a few years now. You know, he's in his little bunker in yeah. his mansion in Palm Beach. You yeah. know, he does his radio show out of his house.
Wife number three left him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's in his own little bubble with just a few people being able to get in on the inside.
Sitting in a room talking to himself.
Absolutely.
Urinating in a jar. No, that was another guy. but yeah, it's true. And you know, I don't want to judge anybody else's painful drug habit withdrawal, but I mean, Rush is not a happy guy, you know?
No.
It's been interesting hearing how passionate Rush has been against any kind of health care or any kind of public option. You know, these guys, the Conservative Party, have no problem spending billions of your taxpayer dollars to fight terrorism. Why? To save American lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to spend that money to fight
right.
cancer to
right.
save American lives. And I can't help but think that logic dictates that using our resources to fight disease to save American lives is patriotic. And that's why the public option...
But it doesn't make good TV. Stuff blowing up makes for good TV.
I know. I was wishing Olympia Snow would, like, you know, do a pole dance or something this week. I mean,
oh, no, you don't want to see that.
Well,
I'd rather
hey,
see Susan Collins.
That's the one woman in D.C. every Democrat wanted to get lucky with.
all right. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be back with more of your calls here on The Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugelsang filling in. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie had to leave her studio in New York and catch a plane out of JFK. But you're here with the Mooks and with John Fugelsang.
Indeed you is. And guys, it's a pleasure. I would rather, really, I'd rather work with you guys than the best radio crew in all of radio. That's an honor to be here. I want you to know that.
Thank you.
I've got to tell you, man, I have to recommend the Bob Dylan Christmas album. I have to recommend it. It is the most surreal thing you will ever hear, friends.
That's what you were saying.
It takes place in a world where rock and roll never happened, And it, to me, it seems like Bob is trying to make his argument that Lawrence Welk and the Andrews Sisters and traditional Christmas music mm-hmm. are Americana roots music. It's shocking how square it is. It's
yeah. Shockingly square.
But his voice, his rasp with these Christmas carols. That's what it sounds like. And that's
wow.
that's a crazy song, too. Who decided Little Drummer Boy was a good Christmas? The song makes no sense.
I like it. No, it makes total sense.
Can you imagine you're Joseph and you're trying to hide from the Romans? Soldiers, and there's this kid banging
Stop
a drum.
Playing the drum. What are you doing?
Hey, kid, what are you doing? We got sand in the food. It smells like manure in here. You know, you're banging a drum. We're hiding from the Roman army occupying the Holy Land.
Great, you blew our cover.
You're going to wake up my kid. He's not your kid, Joseph. Shut up, Mary.
Funny, the kid looks just like that centurion that was hanging out here 9 months ago.
Oh, no, you did.
Louise Ward.
Oh, he didn't have immaculate contraception. Let's talk to Alice in Chicago. It's a good morning for Chicago. You there, Alice?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a very simple question. You said that when you were talking about the beauty pageant, so that was denigrating to women. I kind of agree with you. I think I'm pretty liberal, but I want to know why it is less denigrating for you guys to spend 10 minutes yakking about the size of McCain's breast.
Well, that's a fair question, Alice. I'll say this, that Meghan McCain was the one who put her bosoms out there in the public mm-hmm. sphere by so posting that photo and then complained when there were rude comments about her. I don't know if you've seen the picture, Alice, but it was a rather racy, suggestive photo, and she put it out there. It's not the sort of picture I would have put out of myself if I was a lady. And then Meghan McCain made charges of sexism when people made rude comments about her rather lascivious, revealing photo. And I do think that there are many elements of the Miss America pageant that aren't sexist, but quite a bit of it is.
Well, having a guy who refers to feminists as a feminazi is one of the judges is very stupid. But look, you didn't have to go on and on and on. That's a little disgusting too. It's hard on a liberal to find out that people on their side are sometimes just as miserable as the jerks on the other side.
Oh, well, I promise you, Alice, that we're not as miserable as we seem, but I thank you for taking the time to share the love and tell us
she
that.
She was sweet.
To be honest with you, I do see her point, but the Meghan McCain thing is a case of a woman who's put herself forth as a new spokesman for the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
and her own petulant antics will come back to haunt her.
Look at me, what are you looking at?
Exactly right. So I respect where you're coming from, and I respect your critiques, and I'm sorry that we're all so miserable here.
I'm miserable. It's Friday, for crying out loud.
I want to talk to Tim in L.A. Tim, you got a thing to say about the NFL, huh?
Hey, yeah, how you doing?
Good morning.
I have a question. I think what we need to be calling Rush Limbaugh out on is his hypocrisy. He talks about he's not a socialist. The NFL is one of the most socialist organizations in this country.
How so?
Because the most money that they get, their largest stream of revenue is from TV. They split it evenly among all the teams. They got a salary cap that can only pay players a certain amount of money. And they get money from the government. They got an antitrust exemption. It is a socialist organization.
Well, I would say that's more
an example of capitalism.
I would say it's an example of regulated capitalism, of heavily regulated capitalism, which is what we need more of.
Well, why would he want to be a free market guy?
He claims to be a free market guy. But he's really just about the upper 1%. He's management all the way. I mean, he claims to be free market, but then he comes out and says that having a public option will hurt private insurance companies. That's like saying community college hurts the Ivy League. It's
exactly.
crazy.
Did you guys see last night Juan Williams when Warren Valentine told him to go back on the porch?
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Yes. And did you get your invitation to the Fox News Christmas party?
Oh, God, no.
White robes optional.
Well, I've got to say, Juan Williams does work for, the only reason he works for Fox is because the Klan won't have him. But I thank you very much, Tim, for calling.
Have a good day.
You too. Peace.
I think comparing the NFL.
Yes?
Comparing the NFL to all of the free market is not a good comparison because the NFL is not a publicly traded organization.
Exactly.
So you can't compare the two systems.
No, and anybody who's going to a game paying $9 for a Coke knows it ain't socialist.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're paying for payroll there.
And, well, and many taxpayers pay for brand new stadiums too.
Well, exactly yeah. right. In that sense, it is socialist. Over in New York, we just got bailout field for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Citibank, and you look at the Yankees, and you look at how George Steinbrenner spent all this money because he had it to put together this amazing team of cyborgs,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, every player in the league wants to be paid what the Yankees are paid, so some guy in Minnesota's got to pay $12 for a Coke to bring his kid to a game because their players want the same exact pay.
Yeah.
Let us talk to John in Indianapolis. John, you there?
Yes, I am. I want to make a point about Rush Limbaugh. If he were such a capitalist, he would just get another group of investors and outbid the group of investors that threw him under the bus. It's that simple. He doesn't have to necessarily go in with the owner of the St. Louis Blues. This just boils down to his public humiliation. Mm-hmm. He's just like a little kid that doesn't get what he wants, so he starts calling everybody else names because yeah. the fact he's been embarrassed by, yeah.
And he's used to getting what he wants, and this time he didn't get what he wants.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's junky behavior, and it's junky logic, and we've seen it all happened before. Anyone who's ever had an intervention knows exactly what displacement means when it comes to anger.
I've seen intervention. I know what goes on.
Indeed. Let's talk to I want to combine intervention and weddings for TLC and like have a show where I talk women out of getting into bad marriages.
Yes.
Let's talk to Kate in the great city of Pittsburgh. You there, Kate?
I'm here.
Good morning.
And I just kind of have to take exception to something you just said.
Please.
About Meghan McCain, because I saw that picture. I'm on Twitter and I saw that picture when it came across. And you know what? And I like women, but when I saw that picture, the first thing I was looking at was not her cleavage. And then I had to go back and look after all of the men started go crazy about it. And I think, okay, you want to say, ooh, that's racy, whatever. But I'm hearing her being slagged off because she's a woman who has breasts, who has the nerve to, actually show the fact that she has breasts in a picture. And I don't see the point in insulting her or suggesting she's being provocative or something. If you wear a tank top and you're not, part of the itty-bitty boob committee, that's what happens when you're not completely upright and you're in a picture in a tank top.
You're right. I think it is more than sexism. It's an issue about sizeism we're talking about. And I think Meghan McCain happens to be very attractive. I think mm-hmm. her body's spectacular. Mm-hmm. And, I wasn't offended or put off by the picture in any way. And I do feel bad for women who are, above a size 2 that they have to deal with obnoxious comments from men all the time.
And from Ann Coulter.
Yeah, exactly. And Meghan McCain has every right to put that picture out on the internet. She certainly does. But when you put yourself up as the Republican spokesman for the Family Values Party, you're going to be called out on things like that. And I hope it's a teachable moment. I hope it can move us all ahead and get away from sexism and sizism. I'd like to think that'll happen. Are you a fan of Meghan?
I'm the complete polar opposite of Meghan in probably every fashion. But at the same time, I have to say, I have a problem with people talking about Ann Coulter the way that they do.
I agree.
And it's extraordinarily transphobic that people keep calling her man and all of that kind
Absolutely
of stuff.
Absolutely is, yep.
It's ridiculous, and we need to get away from all of this personal attack. Let's keep ourselves on the issues. Meghan McCain gives lip service to some really heinous ideas, and she could have no breasts at all, and we should still be focusing on the stuff that's coming out of her mouth.
Kate, you're
and out
absolutely
of her keyboard
right.
on Twitter.
You're absolutely right, and I thank you for the call. And this is a point I made last year when a lot of liberals were mired in ageism jokes about John McCain. You cease being liberal when you start mocking people that way. And we have time for one more call.
We have about 40 seconds left in the show.
Steve in Albuquerque, we wanted to get to you, but I'm sorry we're not going to have time. But it's been quite a week. I want to congratulate Heidi Klum on having a new baby seal.
Yes!
Captain Lou Albano died, but I'm pretty sure he's faking it. And I want to say it's been just a real pleasure to be back here with the Mooks.
Yeah, we love having you.
Thank you.
Are you going to be here next Friday?
I'll be here in the studio next week. I'm going to be headlining in Hollywood at Bordner's on the 25th on Sunday, a week from this coming Sunday.
Very cool.
I'll be headlining here in town, and I'll be back here with you and the Mooks next week.
All right, cool. And Stephanie Miller will be back here in Los Angeles in the studio with us this coming Monday, so be sure and tune in for that.
And follow Steph on Twitter and the Facebook, and follow us all.
Yes, you're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show.